The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And it's a Thursday. Welcome to it. Thursdays are always fun because Howie Klein is here, and you never know where we're going to go, except, you know, we'll talk politics. There's other stuff going on today as well. I got to tell you, hopefully I can shake out of this funk that I'm in. Why am I in a funk? Why am I depressed today? Why am I having a shitty day? Because today is the day I decided to go into the health insurance marketplace to re-up my insurance coverage for next year. Oh, this is always so much fun. And it doesn't matter if you are just a regular person like me, under 65, trying to get insurance, or you're 65 or older and trying to figure out Medicare. There's nothing easy about it, and nothing is simple. All right, so I'm just going to talk about my thing because I am under 65. Sometimes I wish I wasn't. Because Medicare would be so much easier to deal with. So I get my insurance through the exchange and the Affordable Care Act because I'm a cancer survivor. I have pre-existing conditions. If not for the Affordable Care Act, I wouldn't have insurance. In fact, before the Affordable Care Act went into effect, I was on the, you know, I was threatened with not being able to get covered. So on that front, I'm happy that the ACA is still in existence and that I am able to get insurance. And I know that if I buy a policy through the exchange, it has to meet the basic criteria set forth in the legislation. When Trump put the junk policies back into effect and people are going, oh, I can get something cheaper. Yeah, because those policies, those are junk policies. They do not have to cover preventive care. They do not have to cover a mammogram if you're a woman or a pap smear or, you know, hospital. They don't have to adhere to the minimum standard of care that the ACA plans do. So I wouldn't even think of buying a policy that's not on, you know, on the exchange. And, you know, I've been for the last few years anyway, I've gone with Florida Blue. It's the Florida, obviously, subsidiary of Blue Cross Blue Shield. And each year, you know, the premiums inch up a little bit, but frankly, I don't make a whole lot of money. So my income is low that I do qualify for subsidy. But even with the subsidy, this very basic insurance, you know, it'll cover me if I get cancer again, if I have to go to the hospital, if, you know, I'm covered, but I do have a fairly high deductible and high copays and stuff like that. And the problem is that got distracted for a second. You know, it's expensive. So I get a subsidy and my subsidy knocks. I hope you're sitting down. I think it's $792 a month off the cost of the premium. Got that? Even with that, the premium is still going to cost me about $300 a month. That means that if I didn't have the subsidy, the cost of this health insurance plan would be well over $1,000 a month. If I told you what I'm earning, you'd go, well, that's not possible. It's not possible. And here was the sticking point again. And I had flashbacks to last year when I went through the same thing. I have restless leg syndrome. Some of you who've been with me long enough have heard me bitch about this because when I'm going through a particularly rough patch, I don't sleep. And it's funny I use the word patch there because the medication that I use is a patch. It's a patch that they prescribe to Parkinson's patients. Restless leg syndrome is a neurological disorder, and the treatment is usually a much lower dose of the Parkinson's medication. I'm on a high dose of this stuff because I'm very drug resistant for whatever reason. I guess it's my wild childhood. Anyway, this medication without insurance every month costs $650 some odd. So part of my whole research every year when I have to get my new policy renewal is to make sure that this medication will be covered. And even though I've had the same policy for a few years, some years it's my copay is $65 a month. And then last year, for some reason, it went down to 10. Now, the manufacturer, the drug, the pharmaceutical company has a savings plan, savings program that the year before didn't give me those savings. This year it did. But next year, depending on, I was looking at two different policies. Well, actually, I was looking at a third one. There's a new health insurance company in Florida on the exchange called Oscar Health. Now, I know you're thinking, oh, really? Oscar Health Insurance? Some guy named Oscar is like playing the odds. Like either you're going to get sick or you're not going to get sick. But instead of my premium being $300 a month, with Oscar, I could have gotten it down to a little over 100, but I don't trust it. And so when I started doing the research, sure enough, this medication, my share of the cost of the medication would be 50%. So $300 and some odd a month. Yeah, that ain't happening. So needless to say, I'm frustrated and the blood pressure is rising and all that stuff. And so I finally decided, all right, I'm going to call. I'm going to talk to a human being. That was my first mistake, or maybe my fourth, because on the fifth try, when the very nice woman who, was dealing with my frustration very calmly, finally said, you know, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be either $60 a month or it, with this one policy or with the other one, it's going to wind up being, you know, 20% after the copay, after the deductible. It's like, I can't deal with this anymore. And then I got into my head and the same thing that I've thought so many times over the years, why even bother? Right. So I can pay hundreds of dollars a month for this patch that might, if I'm lucky, allow me to sleep for a couple of hours a night. So I can get up again the next day and do this all over again. So here I go again. And then it's like, okay, I got to get away from that. Got to stop because 2.5 hours trying to deal with health insurance is more than my psyche can handle. So I come in here. It's like, all right, I'll do show prep. And then I'm reading about this crazy world we're living in. In Florida, the death toll is through the roof. We've passed 1 million cases in Florida, and our governor, Ron Death Sentence, says no mask mandates allowed anywhere in the state. We're opening everything up at 100%. Pandemic be damned. I don't care. Now, he didn't say it in those words, but he just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. I'll say it again and again and again. He really just doesn't care. So anyway, I got a bunch of stuff to talk about, but I do have somebody on the line and somebody that I asked yesterday to call. Hold on. I need to pull this down. Where's the audio coming from? Oh, I bet it's coming from here. Yeah. Okay. Hi, caller. Are you there?
Yeah, this is Josh Copeland. How are you?
Hey, Josh. Good. Well, you know, I'll be better once I stop thinking about health insurance and, you know, what this year has been like and, you know, all the challenges ahead of us. but you actually tweeted at me yesterday and you had a really good suggestion. And I said, instead of me saying this, why don't you call into the show and tell us what this is about? So I guess we should start with who you are, what your Twitter handle is LB Kratz, which stands for Local Bernie Kratz. And this is a group that you started.
That's correct. This is a volunteer organization. We started back in June of 2016. And you have to apologize. I've got some feedback coming in my ears from my voice, but
oh no.
But we are a volunteer organization that Bernie inspired to start back, you know, when I think we all remember that when he was losing in the 2016 primary, he asked everybody to run for local office, state office, and just flood under the ballot so that we can create a bottom-up political revolution. By the way, the audio is much better now.
Thank you. Good. Okay.
And that was his key message, that, you know, we need to reform, or, you know, transform the Democratic Party from the ground up. And because I think we all know that the corruption really starts at the top. You know, you've got your special interests that that, you know, want to control the Democratic Party, and the Democratic Party leaders are put in to do their bidding, and that's kind of where it flows down from. And so, it's very hard to win at the top, as we all know. So these big changes like Medicare for All and all these really monumental changes, fundamental changes, are going to take a lot of elections to win. And you know, it seems daunting, but, you know, the Republicans did this back in the 70s and the 80s when they, Newt Gingrich, you know, told them that they should be focusing on running down ballot, and they won a lot of elections. And, you know, then we saw the Tea Party come out of that. And we saw Trump come out of that.
Yeah.
So it is our time to do that. And, you know, we know that how many of us said feel the burn, and how much energy we had. You know, since Bernie ran and has been running.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that if we take that energy and we create a viral strategy that is Bernie's own key message from 2016, and we talk about, you know, the importance of running for office and supporting those who do, and we're just really focused on down ballot, we're going to do really, really well. Now, what we have noticed, though, is that it's not a viral strategy yet, okay? I know it's very difficult, or, you know, it's much easier to focus on the big problems. I mean, that's certainly valid. But we have to have time. Let's just say we're on Twitter or Facebook, and we're making posts about politics, and we post, I don't know, 10 times a day on national topics. Let's save one of those, or, you know, let's do one of those for, hey, 2021 has hundreds of local and state elections. Virginia legislature has a bunch of opportunities, and New Jersey legislature has a bunch of legislature opportunities to pick up seats. We already have a few Bernie-crats in the Virginia legislature, by the way. Lee J. Carter and Danica Rome, and the list can just go up from there. But we've got to focus on that stuff. And when I look at what we're talking about on social media and just our general discourse, just as general, you know, progressives, you know, rank and file progressives.
Yep.
And I'm not talking about any one person. I'm not certainly not talking about you or anybody in particular. But we just are not super. We don't talk about it very much.
Well,
a whole lot better.
Josh, let me tell you what's happening here in Florida. I don't think I'm supposed to talk about it publicly yet, but you know, we have a small, loyal, but small audience here. And if I'm giving away any secrets, well, it's all going to come out this weekend anyway. So I think it's too late for people who might be opposed to what we're doing to do anything. But you might recall, and I don't know how long you've been listening to the show, but I have a friend, a dear friend, who passed away a few months ago. His name was Mitchell Stolberg. And Mitchell was one of Broward County, Florida's best progressive activists. He ran the local Progressive Democrats of America chapter. He ran the local Florida Progressive Caucus of the Democratic Party of Florida. So it's got a long, convoluted name. But he was the one who got that going in Broward County, Florida. Broward is the bluest county in all of Florida, but it's also ridiculously apathetic. When we'd go out to protests, there'd be a handful of people there. People, I think it's the humidity, does something to brains down here where people just don't get involved. So the Florida Democratic Party sucks out loud. Florida has more registered Democrats than Republicans, yet the Republicans have run the state, both at the legislature level, the state assembly, and the executive level, in pretty much the 15 years I've been back here. And finally, and what happened in last month is a travesty, where we lost, you know, we lost seats in Congress. We still have Republicans running the state, and now because the state legislatures who won in November are going to get to rewrite the districts based on the new census data, if that stuff is going to hold up, and that's a whole other story. This is when it really counted, and the Florida Democratic Party just blew it. They just blew it. So Mitchell and a lot of the other real progressives in the state said, we need to do an inside outside strategy. We need a progressive takeover of the Florida Democratic Executive Committee. And so Mitchell recruited me and many others, as did his counterparts in other counties around the state, to run to be precinct committee people. Each voting precinct has a committee man and a committee woman, and most of those seats are unfilled. In fact, when you run for one of those seats, you're often unchallenged, as I was. So thanks to Mitchell, I put my name in and I got in. In fact, I showed, here's my certificate that I just posted the other day. It just came in the mail. I am a precinct committee person for Broward County, Florida. This weekend, we have the elections for the state chair, the county chairs, the state committee people, and everything else. Unfortunately, in Broward County, we still don't have our shit together because Mitchell died, and we don't know who he all recruited. So we're not organized here in Broward County. We've got a very small but dedicated group. But around the state, I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It's looking really good that we've got some great progressives who are finally going to get a foothold inside the Florida Democratic Party. So we'll have people who know what they're doing, number one, and will fight for progressive values. This is kind of what you're talking about, but on a bigger level, right? You want people to vote to run not only for committee positions, but for state legislature, for every local and county and state seat available, because we need to get in there because they are. Is that what you're saying, Josh? Kind of, sort of?
Yeah, absolutely. So government and party leadership seats at all levels.
Yes.
And, you know, also our leaders like Bernie Sanders used to say, that was this key message, until around maybe mid-2017, and pardon me, I know a lot of people might be a little surprised to hear this, but he really sort of shifted away from that explicit message of run for office. When was the last time you've heard him say, oh, there's school board, then there's this and that? He used to do that a lot, but now it's sort of shifted away. I know a lot of elected politicians shifted away from talking about that explicit message.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some sort of a reason, and I don't want to, you know, I've got theories, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to dwell on the why. You know, it's more of here's the situation. And it probably reveals that is actually the way the Democrats are, you know, are going to be reformed, and they don't want anybody talking about it. So that is what we must focus on. Don't give them what they want by, you know, turning away from that strategy. So that's why we must make it viral. And it does help to get as many progressive leaders as possible to talk about it. And I don't see a whole lot of them doing it. So if you go on Twitter and your favorite progressive leader that you may interact with, you see a lot. When was the last time you saw them say, hey, 2021 filing periods are here now?
No, never. I never hear it. And so it differs from state to state, right? So you need to find out in your state when you file, should you care to run for a position next year. And even though next year is an odd numbered year, there are still local elections going on everywhere, right?
That's right. And you can look up your local election office just by Googling, you know, your state and plus election office, and you'll find all the information that you'll need, or you can call. They're very helpful with providing you all the information you may need to sign up to run, or the dates or whatever you might need, available seats, that sort of thing. That's a really great way. LocalBernieKratz.com is a great place to sign to apply to be listed if you are going to be a candidate.
LocalBernieKratz.com. Hold on. I'm writing it down. LocalBernieKratz.com. Good. And you don't have to like be a Bernie Sanders supporter. Bernie, I think, is done running for national office at this time. He's more of a a kind of a figurehead, but or a cheerleader, or a someone who can still get something done if Joe Biden will give him a role in the administration. But it's you know, he is, I think, ready to hand the baton, as it were, to the next generation. And we've got some great leaders in his mold, from AOC to Katie Porter to Pramila Jayapal to Ro Khanna to Jamie Raskin. I mean, this is what we'll talk with Howie Klein about, because Howie's all about the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. And that's what we need to grow.
Howie's great.
Yes, he is.
And of course, he wants to pass the baton to all of your listeners, too. So party leadership seats, show up to Democratic Party clubs. Bring your Bernie friends to that. And you take over who they endorse. You take over all the kinds of things. It's so super simple to take over. It's just we have to actually talk about it. We have to make it viral, and we have to actually do it. If you said feel the burn, it's time to get local.
Exactly. And so, you know, keep your fingers crossed for what's going on in Florida this weekend, because the elections tonight at 7 o'clock, I need to be on a Zoom call where the candidates for state chair, the chair of the Florida Democratic Party, and the vice chair, first and second vice chair, I think are all making their pitches. Tomorrow evening, it's the secretary and treasurer and those candidates. And on Saturday, I think it's the local county candidates making their pitches. And then Sunday all day, it's a voting thing. Usually, I guess they do it in person, but now we're doing it by Zoom. So this is what I have in store for me this weekend. Aren't I lucky? But these are the things you do when you know you need to make change. I can sit here and bitch every day that about Joe Biden's cabinet picks, that I'm not happy, they're not progressive enough. Well, you know what? That comes back to us, because we didn't show up in big enough numbers to make sure we had a power base there. We need to build it now.
100% agree. And you don't have to be Nicole Sandler or have your own radio show to be well informed of what's going on in your state. If you ever wanted to know where your local Democratic Party meeting is, that's a great place to start. And all you have to do is just to Google your city or your area, your state, and then plus Democratic Party, and you'll find their website.
And I'll tell you something else. If you go to, and I can only speak for Florida because I've lived down here now for 15 years this time. When I go to local Democratic Party clubs, they are so sparsely attended, and it's usually a handful of very old people. This is the time for young people to come in. As much as, we may be disillusioned with the Democratic Party, it's ripe for takeover. First of all the leadership from Pelosi to Hoyer to Clyburn, they're all gone after this term. They need to be. And the new energy, a new generation has to come in. Now, obviously, I'm not in that generation, and I'm ready to hand it off to a younger generation. We just need you all to get involved. Now is the time for that inside-outside strategy. Get in there, take over the Democratic Party. We're ripe for takeover. It's time. So I love what you're doing. Again, if people have questions for you, Josh, how can they get a hold of you?
Certainly. You can reach me through Facebook, Local Berniecrats on Facebook, or Twitter. LocalBerniecrats@gmail.com is also another way you can email. And you can also visit the website, LocalBerniecrats.com, where you can apply to be listed as a candidate, but you can also find one of 200 local chapters that we have of volunteers that have started chapters around the country. You might find one in your city or area.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep on reminding people that 2021 has elections. It may not be in your state or in your city. But the more that we talk about this, the more somebody's going to see it and say, you know, that's something I've been thinking about. And I actually do have, an aunt that has a good amount of money she'd give me, and a bunch of friends that'll knock doors. And if you can put the sweat hours in, you win. I mean, a lot of small districts.
That's it.
You're bound to win if you put in the hours. So,
but just sitting back.
Thank you very much for talking about it.
My pleasure. And thank you for sharing this. But just sitting back and bitching, as I tend to do, is not enough. You gotta get out and take action. That's why I decided to do this. And because Mitchell asked me, well, now Mitchell's not here. And I could have said, well, Mitchell's gone, I'm done. But no, now I feel like I gotta do it and do it right for him. So I'm all in, and you know, hopefully we'll build it so that in Broward County, the bluest county in Florida, we can get something done. So, Josh, thank you for calling. Again, I'll put the information on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/12-3-20, because that's how I post each day's show based on the date like that. And yeah, hopefully we'll get some people running for office. And that would be a wonderful thing.
Thank you very much. Go 2021.
Go 2021. Can't come soon enough. Thank you, Josh. All right. Like I said, it is Thursday. So Howie Klein will be here in just a couple of minutes. I have some fun stuff to share with you. I'll tell you something. As shitty of a mood as I was in all day, when I finally came in here, I saw this video. And you know, Rudy Giuliani is doing these not hearings in Michigan. Nobody's sworn in. It's at a courtyard by Marriott, not a courthouse, but a courtyard. And they decorated the room so it looks like a hearing room, but it's not official. It's a thing at a hotel, and they're taking testimony, but nobody's under oath. And when Howie's here, I'll play some of the clips of some of the testimony and stuff. But there's one point where Rudy Giuliani is talking and Jenna Ellis is sitting next to him. And as much as I thought maybe this was a doctored video, I've seen it in enough places where I really believe that it isn't. And if you're just listening to audio, keep in mind that I think, you'll hear the offending sound, and it emanates from Rudy Giuliani. All right, you ready? Here it goes. It's quick.
Answer. Point of order. The answer that I gave you is they didn't bother to interview a single witness.
Oh.
Just like you, they don't want to know the truth.
Yeah, that was it. And yes, he farted. It was a kind of a fart in mid-sentence. But Jenna Ellis looked at him with daggers shooting out of her eyes. It is the fart heard round the internet. So we got that going for us. Howie Klein's going to join us in just a moment. And he's got a new post up at downwithtyranny.com dealing with this craziness going on in Georgia, right? And it's the title of the post. It's brand new. It's at the top of downwithtyranny.com. Trump's going down to Georgia to boost Team Q or to spark civil unrest. Well, speaking of Team Q, Midas Touch has a brand new video out today. What did I do with it? Stop Team Q. Where did I put it? Oh, there it is. And you might recognize the voice doing the narration. Yeah, I teamed up with Midas Touch again. Here's the project. Here we go. FBI calls QAnon domestic terrorists.
QAnon followers believe world governments are being controlled by a shadowy cabal of pedophiles.
The Bureau warns some of those conspiracy theories will likely motivate some domestic extremists to commit violent activity.
But what does Team Loeffler in Purdue call QAnon? Friends.
Kelly Loeffler got a polarizing endorsement from fellow Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Q is a patriot.
Greene is a racist conspiracy theorist.
Purdue and Loeffler have created enough chaos.
A QAnon supporter barricaded himself inside an armored vehicle. In 2016, a man shot up a Washington, D.C. restaurant.
11 killed, 6 wounded. People killed while worshiping.
Stop them before they make Georgia a safe haven for QAnon terrorists. Tell Loeffler and Purdue there is no Q in Georgia.
Our campaigns are working together.
Stop Team Q. Midas Touch is responsible for the content of this advertising.
This is a stressful time for everyone. And it can be frustrating when some people in your community refuse to take the pandemic seriously. They feel the pandemic is somehow a hoax or a ploy. To what end? I'm not sure. You know, the people who protest against a virus. But let's not let our frustration with those people get the better of us. Let's be civil. Don't call them COVIDiots. Don't call them logically challenged. Don't call them severely allergic to the obvious. Semi-sentient sandwich bags. Overconfident farts. Snot goblins. Pandemic pinheads. The dangerously terrified. Virally vexed. Super stupid spreaders. Maskless morons. Cootie clowns. Living, breathing bad ideas. COVID fodder. Told you so before pictures. The common sense immune. The saliently shambolic. The it's not happening to me or anyone I know, so it doesn't exist, brain trust. The scientifically averse. Or just willfully ignorant. I mean, all of those are pretty good, though. We all just want everyone to stay healthy, so we can get back to some sort of normal as soon as possible. So wear a mask when you need to. Socially distance when you need to. Be safe, be smart. And don't be a snot goblin. Sorry.
The Nicole Sandler Show is 100% listener supported. Have you given yet? Nicole decided not to put her show behind a paywall, knowing that many can't afford the luxury of paying for a podcast. But if you're able to, she needs your financial support to continue doing this. Consider a monthly subscription. Give when you can. Just visit NicoleSandler.com/donate. Remember, she can't do this without you.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, hello, Howie Klein.
Bonjour. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Hey, I saw you were tweeting with somebody. Twitter is weird in that we can all be sort of voyeuristic and listen in on private conversations with somebody. Was it about Namibia or something? And you invited them to write something on your travel blog?
Yes, he's a friend of mine. It's a guy I know.
Ah. Okay, but you said that you had wonderful experience there. You people who don't know, who just know Howie Klein from politics, he's got a hell of a backstory. Number one, his music industry background, which is where we met in Los Angeles a lifetime ago. But also, you are, next to Alan Grayson, the most traveled person that I've ever met.
I do travel. You're right. Same with me. I am the most traveled person I ever met. Except for Alan.
Yeah. So this pandemic has been weird because you've been home now for 9 straight months with probably no end in sight, huh?
Well, yes, no end in sight. Now, Roland is my travel partner, mm-hmm. and he sees an end in sight. He wants to, get on the road so badly. He's way, way more addicted to that than me or even Alan. Well, Alan is pretty addicted, but Roland is just as addicted as Alan to travel. Roland would be the first one online to get a vaccination and think he could go off the next day to Paris or Bali or anywhere. And, we talk about that every night because, it's a really big deal to him. And I had just recently gone and seen my doctor, and she's not just, someone who heals people, although she does, thank God. Mm-hmm. She's also a world famous researcher, but in cancer. But she's. I went to her because I wanted to know when it would be safe to take this vaccine, and she told me immediately she's very skeptical.
Huh.
I said, because I said I want to know when she and her family are going to do it, and she said she's very skeptical. They're offering it to everyone. She works at City of Hope. She said they're offering it to everybody at the hospital, and at this point she would not take it.
Wow.
And she's very suspicious because they have not released to other doctors the results of the testing that they've done, and she said there's no way she's taking it until she's gone over that stuff really, really carefully, and her colleagues, she wants to see, she and her colleagues need to do that. And City of Hope has a is developing their own vaccine.
Really?
And there are specialists who are working on that, you know, really hard every day. So, I told Roland, I'm waiting until she's ready to give it to herself and her family. I'm not doing it till after then. And he said, well, I'll be happy to take your place online. Just because I would be, because I'm older than him.
Mm-hmm. And a cancer survivor. Right. And a cancer survivor. And so you go to the front of the line. But, this is interesting to hear that. I saw today Dr. Fauci was a bit critical of the UK, who's already started, just rushed it to approval. And he said they did it too quickly, that he doesn't think they vetted the results enough. The Pfizer vaccination, by the way, they've also downgraded the number of vaccines they say that they're going to ship because of a quality control issue. So instead of 200 million doses, it's going to be 100 million doses or something like that. I'm sure I have the numbers wrong, but it's cutting in half the number they say they'll have immediately when they're ready to go. And that vaccine takes two doses per person. So as optimistic as they were, they're going to get the whole country vaccinated by June. That's not going to happen.
No. And, like I said, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one who's feeling that, we have to wait and see on this a little bit. Maybe everything's good. I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Not certain of it.
Right.
And I'm not taking a vaccine until I am certain of it. I'm not like some anti-vaxxer.
No.
I get my vaccines. In fact, one of the things I did at City of Hope, there were a few things I was doing there this week. One of them was to get the, that special super duper flu vaccine.
Uh-huh.
And the other was to get another pneumonia vaccine. My doctor felt that it was time for me to get another one, even though I had one pretty recently, but she wanted me to have another. So I did, so like I said, I take my vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I just, I'm just not taking some crazy thing that, that Trump cooked up in the White House basement.
Yeah. And the thing is, he didn't, I don't want to give him too much credit. He may have, pushed them into moving along faster than perhaps they otherwise might have. But don't give him credit. He didn't do shit. They're talking about calling it the Trump vaccine. There would have been a vaccine or many of them developed with or without Donald Trump. And he's like, don't let Joe Biden take credit for what I did. Well, he didn't do jack shit. I just need to get that out there. But except try to pressure the FDA to approve it before it's fully tested and fully vetted. And usually with a vaccine, I think they monitor the participants in the trial for 2 years before they give approval. Now, I understand we're in an urgent situation, but they haven't even been at it for, 6 months, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I'm waiting.
Yeah, I hear you. So let's talk politics, because you're waiting out of caution. We have this guy. I shouldn't be surprised anymore by the things that Trump does. And I'm not surprised. I'm just shocked. I'm shocked, number one, at his, I don't want to use the word stupidity, because he's cunning. He's not smart, but he is cunning. And he knows how to bend the rules as far as they can possibly bend, and even then some. But the thing that has me going is how he gets all these other people who should know better to do his bidding and to play this stupid game. It's been, today is a month since Election Day. And Joe Biden is now ahead by over 7 million votes. And Donald Trump still will insist, did this 46-minute taped speech yesterday on the internet, saying he won and this is all fraud and he got more votes. And I mean, just lie after lie after lie after lie. And the Republicans in Congress and around most of the country are still, they still have his back. I don't understand it.
Well, some of them are afraid. That he'll attack them. I mean, he has been, very, very viciously. I think he's ended the career of a couple of these Republican governors.
Yeah.
I don't think Ducey can run again. And I don't think Kemp can run again. And I think that the Secretary of State of Georgia, right, he's finished. So, you know, people don't want that. You know, they don't want their careers to end that way. And Trump isn't hesitating. If a Republican doesn't support him, he just goes after them and destroys their career in politics.
Yeah. Well, and this says to me so much about the American public. Look, Donald Trump made a big deal. We made a big deal of what he said during the campaign. Oh, you're not going to hear it on this channel, but here's where he said, I love
the poorly educated.
I love the poorly educated. He does, because the less educated people are, the more they believe his shit. And this QAnon stuff is just insane. Do you remember, think back 10 years to the Tea Party nonsense, and we were making fun of them with the tea bags hanging from their hats, and they didn't know what a tea bagger was, and the lack of general knowledge about the way things work or the history of the United States. Now you got them talking about QAnon, and I guess Q is a person. And oh, the latest from QAnon is Joe Biden didn't actually break his foot. He's wearing that boot to disguise the ankle monitor because he was arrested on pedophilia charges.
At that pizza place in Washington?
Probably. And they believe this stuff. He's a pedophilia. He was arrested. That's why he's wearing that boot. And they believe it. I'm just, this is a great argument for better public education.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, you know, and you want to say, well, people like that shouldn't be allowed to vote.
Yeah, right.
When I say anything like that, people who, progressives and liberals get really uptight.
Right. Yeah, because you can't have a poll tax. You can't have a test, because we did that before. And that's not good. But there should be some kind of a test. I know what you're saying. It's a tough, tightrope to walk, because a lot of these people don't know what to do with their votes. Then you got this guy, Lynn Wood. So there were two things going on with Trump World this week. You had Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis in Michigan holding some kind of meeting at the courtyard instead of courthouse that they've fashioned to look like a courtroom, pretended it was a hearing, though no one was under oath and there was no actual, court officials there. But they had this hearing and they brought out some of the craziest people to speak. Did you hear any of this stuff?
I did. It's like that crazy drunk woman.
Oh, my God.
Like amazing.
Let me play a little bit of this for you. This you will be able to hear. I brought it up on the other computer so I could play it and you'd hear it. So there's this woman. I actually have her on video. Her name is Melissa Caron, and she's one of the chief witnesses in this sham court hearing in Michigan. here's a little bit of Melissa Caron. Couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Here we go.
The poll book is completely off. Completely off.
Off that 30,000?
I'd say that poll book is off by over 100,000. That poll book, why don't you look at the registered voters on there? How many registered voters are on there? Do you even know the answer to that?
No, I guess I'm trying to get to the bottom
zero.
Of this here.
Zero. There's zero.
So my question then is if the...
Guess how many... Wait. What about the turnout rate? 120%?
Well, let's let Representative Johnson ask his plastic question.
So the poll book number... Okay, there's two things that could happen here. Either the poll book number... If ballots were counted multiple times, there's two options. Option number one is that the poll book numbers are not going to match.
They don't.
The actual. Not by thousands and thousands of votes. That's not what we see right now.
Take a look again.
Option number two is that they essentially were filling in names of people who didn't vote.
People, too?
So is that,
let's
I guess,
let
is that
Representative
your
Johnson ask his question, and then we
let him ask the question.
Well, my question here is why we're not seeing the poll book off by 30,000 votes. That's not the case.
What did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it?
What did you guys do? Take
I'm just
it.
Saying the numbers are not off by 30,000 votes. So
I know what
are you
I
saying
saw.
That they're filling in?
I know what I saw, and I signed something saying that if I'm wrong, I can go to prison. Okay. Did you?
Did you?
Okay,
question here.
Yeah, let's let Representative Johnson ask his question, and then don't interrupt him. And then,
all right. So that's enough of her. So Howie, oh my God. So everyone believes that she was drunk, and she probably was, but I think that's just her.
Well, the point that I got out of this when watching it was that Representative Johnson, who by the way is a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, is not sympathetic to, to the Democrats at all. He was scared because he knew what could happen. He knew that he could be ending his career by going up against this crackpot.
Wow.
And she is obviously out of her mind. Even Giuliani, I think it probably showed it in the video that you just showed.
Yeah, he tried to shut her up and she kept going.
Even though she was his witness.
I know. Well, then there was this other one. I don't have video of this, but all we need to do is hear what this woman has to say. Here we go.
The other representative said that you can actually show up and vote without an ID. It's shocking. How can you allow that to happen? Like, a lot of people think all Indians look alike. I think all Chinese look alike. So how would you tell?
Okay. Yeah. So these were their witnesses. So that was going on in Michigan. While that was happening in Michigan, you had Lynn Wood, who is an attorney of some sort. I forgot. Someone told me who he represents. Now I can't remember, but it's a kind of, that figures. And what's her name? The crazy woman, whose name I'm drawing a blank with. They did this, stop the steal vote, because they're saying the vote was stolen in Georgia. And here's a little bit of what Lynn Wood said and how he whipped the crowd up into a frenzy.
Blow your horns until Brian Kemp comes out and orders a special session of the Georgia legislature. Get us our legislature and tell everybody we want our legislators and we want them to fix the mess that he created.
What?
And then he can resign. And then as far as I'm concerned, lock him up.
Oh, boy. Lock him up. They're chanting about the governor, the Republican governor of Georgia. And then he said this.
We're not going to go vote on January 5th in another machine made by China. You're not going to fool Georgians again. If Kelly Loeffler wants your vote, if David Perdue wants your vote, they've got to earn it. They've got to demand publicly, repeatedly, consistently, Brian Kemp call a special session of the Georgia legislature.
What?
And if they do not do it, if Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue do not do it, they have not earned your vote. Don't you give it to them.
So there he is at this rally telling people, don't vote for these two Senate candidates in the Georgia special election on January 5th.
Yeah, well, right on. I wrote a post about that.
Yes, you did.
I will say that I thought that Chuck Schumer was smart enough. I would have guessed that these two Republicans are working for him. Because this is incredibly good news for the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, I don't believe in any of these polls anymore. I've given up on them. But the one came out today, and it was such good news, I paid a little bit of attention to it. And the good news was that Kelly Loeffler was losing to Raphael Warnock by 7 points.
Mm-hmm.
And even Ossoff was winning, although it was in the margin of error. He was winning by 2 points, 50-48, over David Perdue. So all you need is Republicans to start getting discouraged or, think that it's the right thing to do to not vote. That's somehow going to help Trump overturn the election or something like that, and that's it. The Democrats can win both. I mean, I don't really think the Democrats are going to win both. I don't even think the Democrats are necessarily going to even win one, although they may. But the idea of them winning both the Georgia Senate seats is insane.
It is insane.
If that were to happen, it would be incredible. Unfortunately, it would make Joe Manchin the most powerful man in the Senate.
Oh, God. you know, we get something positive, and then it's like two steps up, one step back. And I keep using this analogy. That's better than one step up and two steps back, but still, it's not good enough.
No, Joe Manchin is three steps back.
Yes, he is. Oh, man.
Anything good is going to come of it. I mean, a friend of mine called me because he's getting ready to retire, and he's got, he's a very, very senior executive at Apple. So you can imagine what his investment portfolio looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me to get some advice about that involved when he should sell some of his holdings based on taxes. And he said, you know, what if two Democrats win the two Senate seats in Georgia? What is that going to mean? And I said, don't worry about it because even if they win, it's not like progressives are winning and they're going to raise taxes on rich people. You're going to have people like Mark Kelly, the new senator from Arizona, extremely conservative, really right. Republican, actually.
And Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin.
Virginia, and, of course, you've got Manchin. You've got the two Delaware guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, these people are not going for progressive taxation. That ain't going to happen.
Right. No, that's unfortunate. But it would still be very nice to have a Democratic majority or a tie in the Senate and have Kamala Harris be the tiebreaker. Do you know how this works? Somebody brought up something the other day about the power in the Senate, where the Senate president actually, according to the Constitution, has the power to decide what comes up for a vote on the Senate floor, more so than the Senate majority leader, which is not even mentioned in the Constitution. Do you know anything about that?
No, but the Senate president isn't like
it's
not a job that's a real job. The Senate president just does whatever the majority leader tells him to do.
I gotcha. And is the tiebreaker in case of a 50-50 vote. And in this case, because the vice president is a Democrat, the Democrats would have the majority in the Senate if it was 50-50, because she would be the tiebreaker. Right.
And that would mean McConnell would be replaced by Schumer, so that's so he would decide what comes up on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also mean that all of the committee chairmen would be Democrats, and that every committee would have one more Democrat than a Republican.
Right, which I'll take it at this point. It should have been a different ball game today, but I think those are the problems within the Democratic Party. By the way, I noticed this little item, and I haven't heard it getting much attention. But yesterday, I don't know if you heard about this, Howie, the House Rules Committee yesterday advanced the MORE Act to legalize marijuana, and
there are still some Democrats led by your friend
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, right?
Yes. Who are against it?
Yep.
There are a few, but there are a bunch of blue dogs and new Dems. But I spoke to the guy who's trying to round up the votes for that,
mm-hmm.
and he thinks he's going to be able to get even the worst Democrats on board, even the ones who are still resisting. He thinks that by Friday, when they're going to vote on this thing, that he'll have them on board as well.
I can't imagine
Debbie Wasserman Schultz is going to vote yes on this. She has a whole career of opposing marijuana, and I don't think she cares. And even though her state wants it, I don't think she cares.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't care. And you've got the same thing with Ed Case in Hawaii. I mean, Hawaii is extremely pro-marijuana.
Yeah.
And they're blue dog congressman, and he's against it as well. Josh Gottheimer from New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey just voted overwhelmingly to legalize, and Gottheimer, a blue dog Democrat, opposes it. So you've got, you still got some jerks, but it'll pass. And horrifying to think of, but it'll pass because there are a lot of Republicans who are for it.
Good. Well, and what this bill will do, not just necessarily legalize marijuana, but it will remove marijuana, cannabis, from this Schedule 1 designation that it has now, that says this is as You know, as narcotic as heroin. This is, you know, marijuana is on the same par as heroin, is what having a Schedule One classification does. This removes it from that federal narcotic schedule of classifications. I'm wording it wrong, but that's what it does. And this is what's necessary to get so that it's not going to be a federal law, even in that you're breaking, even in states where it's legal.
Right. There are six or seven really good provisions in this bill that go beyond just the legalization. Some of them, you know, like, for example, you know, banks don't loan money. And,
right.
And Business Administration don't loan money to any marijuana-related businesses, and that'll be done. I mean, Jerry Nadler wrote the bill, and he's got a pretty good legal mind, and he really addressed problems that have never been addressed before, even in the states where they've legalized it. So he has the benefit of seeing what's happened in states like California and Colorado, seeing what needs to be fixed to make this thing work, and he's put that into the bill. So the bill's a really, really good bill. This mm-hmm. is a great bill. It's going to pass. Mitch McConnell will not let it get a vote in the Senate.
Of course not.
Unless the Democrats win these two seats in Georgia, this bill will never see the light of day.
More reason for people in Georgia to vote. Come on, Georgia, you can do it. Also, the thing you predicted last week happened today. Sean Patrick Maloney is the new head of the DCCC. The only good thing I can say about that is at least he's not Sherry Bustos.
He is.
He's the male version of Sherry Bustos.
Sherry Bustos, but, you know, the same. I mean, they're both Democrats. They're new Dems with F ratings from Progressive Punch. He's corrupt beyond belief. He literally does his campaign calls from the offices of a hedge fund.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy is just really, really bad. The Democrats just gave away their majority in 2022. They might as well just give up now. His plan is to run a completely defensive DCCC for the next 2 years. That's it. Just completely defensive. Anyone. Now, this might even be good news, because anyone who wants to run, they don't have to worry about the DCCC interfering. They're not going to get any money or any help from the DCCC, but the DCCC isn't going to help anybody anyway, but they interfere all the time. Now they're not going to. They're just going to be concerned about keeping seats. You know, they may go after a couple of the seats that were lost, but that isn't even going to be the priority. The priority is to keep from losing seats, because the Republicans are going to be on the war path. So in some ways, having someone even more lame and more incompetent than Sherry Bustos could help progressives because they're going to be on their own without a DCCC trying to interfere in their campaign.
Right.
That could be a good thing. I was just talking, in fact, to one of the candidates who ran last time, and he was not sure if he was going to run again this time, but when he heard about Sean Patrick Maloney getting it, he thought, "Ooh, that means the DCCC won't be on my back, and I can do this thing." He thinks that Sean Patrick Maloney is much worse than Sherry Bustos.
Wow.
He told me.
Oy. Okay.
And well, he knows them both,
right? Of course. Ugh, God. Well, maybe the Progressive Caucus will get more powerful. Maybe Pramila Jayapal will be the lone chair of the Progressive Caucus and can.
She is. She is the lone chair of the Progressive Caucus.
Okay.
And she'll be able to wield a little more power. But you know what? I was very disappointed that they didn't bother to run somebody in the DCCC race again. They never do, and that's upsetting. And you know, I know that she was thinking about it. I asked her, and she told me she was thinking about it. That was several months ago, but I guess they didn't come up with a way to make it work, and they didn't do it. I spoke to most of the progressives who are interested in a job like that. So people who I know. You know, take part in DCCC type stuff. I called every single one of them. Well, I shouldn't say I called most of them. I wrote to some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I communicated with every one of them, and they all had excuses for why. Some of the excuses were good, but a lot of them had really lame excuses for why they wouldn't do it. Every one of them said no. Every single progressive. I think there were a dozen or so, and they all said no, they wouldn't do it. So that was what Pramila was probably up against. She couldn't find anyone to do it.
Wow. Well, they got their work cut out for them. And so do we. 48 days, and then we start a whole new fight. But we gotta keep fighting, I suppose. Howie Klein, as always, thank you. We'll connect again next Thursday.
Talk to you next week.
Thank you, Howie. Tomorrow on the program, Marcy Wheeler will be here. Now, Marcy these days is living in Ireland, but she's still staying on top of everything happening here, and she's been covering Pardon Gate, should I call it? Or maybe we're done with Gates. The pay for pardons stuff that's happening. Donald Trump floating pardons and preemptive pardons to his whole family. Marcy Wheeler, emptywheel.net, will bring us up to speed on what's happening there tomorrow. So I'm off. I'm going to go relax and paint or something. Have a great night. I will see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.